Sea, because it won't let you fall. It won't let you sink down. It'll push you right back up. You can sit up there, open up your newspaper and read it and lay back in the Dead Sea. Oh, I didn't know that, so I'm telling you because I've been there. Come on and say amen. So since you haven't been there, listen to me for a minute and let me tell you. That's what Jesus is saying. Since we haven't been there, why don't we listen to what Jesus has said? And so all I have to go on is what's written in red in my Bible sometime. I need to go on what Jesus has said. So here it is. I'm trying to tell you, forget all the progressive theology that you've been taught. Forget all the mess that people bring up, the stuff that they made up, the new way, the new Christianity, the new walk, the new talk, the new way of preaching. Forget that and just know Jesus. I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know what? If I don't have to tell you about how to get a car, because if you need a car to get to church, God will provide. Do I have a witness? I don't need to tell you how to get a husband, because the Bible said that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I'm telling you, just be a wife and wait. God will have somebody find you where you are. Come on and say amen in here. I don't have to tell you how to get you a new house, because the Bible said he'll give you houses that you didn't build. Preach up in here, somebody. He'll give you what you need. Paul said, my God will supply all your need. Now, what I need you to do is first be born again. He's not telling that to everybody, but he's telling that to an exclusive group that believes in him, a group that trusts in him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that we can't please God except we have what? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And since I told you that Nicodemus came with a secret inquiry and that there's some salvific imperatives that we must have. Now, let me tell you about the Savior's illustration. Look at what Jesus says here. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This the part where y'all can get happy. I know you're tired of me, but this the part where you can get happy now. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Let me tell you what happened when Moses had to lift the serpent up. There were some folks that doubted Moses, but not only did they doubt Moses.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From our devotional reading this morning, Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, we have the story about the Syrophoenician woman. And she gives us a helpful, holy hint in understanding that faith can triumph over all troubles. faith can triumph over all troubles. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
From Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30, the story is told of a Syrophoenician woman whom the Lord Jesus Christ, after ministering to the people of God, for whatever divine reason, he desired to go 50 miles north out of the country of the people of God into the Greek Isles and to share on the ports of the Grecians. And he went into this house, and he did not want it noised or publicized that he was there. But I'm grateful for the word that reveals that Jesus could not be hidden. And what that really meant was Jesus was trying to move in his ministry to shed light on all people, but his assignment was to the Jews mm-hmm. and to the lost house of Israel. But it did not mean that he couldn't bless others in the process. However, that was not the primary cause of his ministry to the people of God, especially while he was preparing for the great mission, which of course was to die on the cross for all mankind.
Amen.
After especially his own people would reject him. It is John who records he came to his own, and his own received him not. And then he goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see how the word is intertwined in the reality of Jesus moving on the various coasts to prove that he is who he say he is. He is no respecter of persons. And the purpose of his coming was to restore his people back to his Father. But in the process of that, because God loves all people, he gave and granted access to the Father through his cross. But now going back now, as he's going in this house, and whether it was to minister in this particular situation or many other situations is not fully clear or fully known. But what is known is the fact no matter where Jesus went, it was something about the attractiveness, about the authority, about the ability to draw people to him. So many people had heard of the great and wonderful works and deeds of the Lord that it was hard to hear about a man and the fame that had gone out from him about his great works and not want to be near him. It's just as if some major star came in this area. Many of you who have heard of, known, maybe bought their records or seen their movies, if it's within your reach or possibility, you find a way to go and see them. Well, in Jesus's time, it was no different. He was a celebrity for the Lord. Even though he came to be a servant, men made him a celebrity. And so when he went into the house, this Grecian woman, this Syrophoenician by nationality, found her way to the house. Now, I don't know, the record doesn't say whether she knew the owner of the house, whether she had relations with them, that she knew something other folk didn't know. However, she found out. And so when she found out, she goes to the house and she makes her plea. She does three things that Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And it is ask, seek, and knock.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus goes on in verse 8 and says, whoever asks, finds, or receives rather. Whoever seeks, finds. And to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened. And so he didn't say to the Jews only, he said, whoever. And one of the things about the Lord is, if you comply with his word is his bond. He will back up his word. That's one of the reasons why the devil does not want the people of God to know the word of God, to know what they are entitled to, so that they are able to say, God, Father, Lord, you said in your word, if I do thus and so, you will do thus and so. And because you're not a man that you should lie, I believe you. Therefore, I'm obeying you. And God has to back up his word according to us obeying it properly. Now, listen, this woman was not like the woman in the fifth chapter of Luke. She was not entitled. She was not a person who belonged to the kingdom of God.
All right.
But listen at this. Though she was not one who belonged to the kingdom, she did believe in the Christ.
All right, doctor.
I got news for you. You don't always have to belong to believe. It does help to belong many times, because membership has its privileges. But when it comes to God, more than membership is understanding the principles of his word and operating according to them, because when you operate according to them, you have what he says you have. Woman didn't belong, but she believed. Jesus had done great miracles, signs and wonders, and marveled many people. But the Bible only records Jesus marveling over this matter called faith. It was an unsaved man, an unbeliever of the principles of Jesus, but believed in the person of Jesus. And because he believed in the person of Jesus, basically and mainly and primarily through his servant's faith, he asked, talking about the centurion, Matthew chapter 8, beginning 5 through 13. The centurion of his was a Jewish member who belonged to the family of God. And he no doubt told him about the healing powers of Jesus. So the centurion, who was a Roman soldier, found Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his servant. Jesus started out to go with him, and he told Jesus that he was not worthy for him to come under his roof, but speak the word only, and his servant shall be healed. Yes, now listen at this, because I want you to see the difference here. He was a Roman soldier. He was not a Jewish citizen. He didn't believe in the same fundamental truths of Jesus Christ, but he believed that Jesus was able. And when he told Jesus, listen, explaining why he's asking him to do this. He said, I am a man of authority. Uh-huh. And understanding the principles of authority, he said, if I say to this man, come, he cometh. When I say go, he goeth. In other words, the principle operation is that you function according to authoritative rule. You do what you're asked to do or commanded to do. And so when you do that, then you know what the end result should be. So he figured, listen, if Jesus is a healer and I ask him to heal it, all he got to do is say, be healed. He don't have to go to my house. He don't have to lay hands on my servant. He don't have to travel this distance to get. I'm not even worthy.
Come on.
But if he speak the word only, it'll make it from where he is to where my servant sick of the palsy is and heal him. And the Bible says Jesus marveled.
Yes.
Why did he marvel? Because he said, so great a faith had not been found in Israel. And it did not come from someone who belonged, but it did come from someone who believed. This Syrophoenician woman did not belong, but she believed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm almost through now. Here's what happened. She comes in and she addresses Jesus, tells Jesus her daughter has a demon. She wants him to cure her. Now, she never asks him to come to her house to lay hands on her daughter. She just asks him to remove the demon. Now, if that's not faith enough, Jesus' response to her made a whole lot of us wonder why would Jesus answer the woman like this. I mean, if we keep it real, let's be real. She didn't belong. So if you don't belong, it means that the blessings don't belong to you. If you know they don't belong to you and you're in need of the blessing, the last thing you need to be is bigoted.
All right, Doc, all right. Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Nothing will turn off a giver more than the bigotedness of a person asking something from them. If you learn nothing else from this woman but the fact that she knew what she came there, she kept her focus on getting her daughter delivered, and she didn't let her feelings get in the way. She kept her focus and did not let her feelings get in the way. How many times have you seeking something from someone, God or anyone else, and it didn't go like you want, and you lost your focus and got all up in your feelings? And you lost yourself and started talking in a certain way, acting in a certain way. And before you knew it, you forgot the reason you were there because of your feelings.
All right, Doctor.
She kept her focus. I'm not here for me. I'm in an intercessory mode. I'm here for my daughter.
Yes, sir.
And because I'm here for my daughter, what I need from him is greater than my feelings. Here's what she says. Listen, I need you to heal my daughter. Jesus said, wait, hold up. It's not meet. It's not fitting. It's not right for me to give the bread that belongs to the little children, to dogs. Now listen, you know, I was shocked to hear Jesus speak like that. But the truth of the matter is, it was the common language of his time. Greeks were known as dogs to the Jews. They were people of less value, of less prestige, of less honor than the Jews. As a matter of fact, Jews felt pretty much that way about everybody that wasn't a Jew.
Yes.
But it was no more different than the derogatory terms of today's time, when one race calls another race out of their name and out of their claim. And we know it. We know what brothers and sisters of the light of persuasion have called us, but we also know what we've called them too.
All right.
We know what we've called Asians and other folk and Mexicans and all of the rest of that. We've all had these derogatory terms that we've placed on folks. But a closer examination suggests that the word Jesus used for dogs was not the same derogatory meaning, because it was a word used that really should have been interpreted as puppies. Now, you know, you can hate a dog, but you can like a puppy. It's so cute and cuddly, and you'll give way to a puppy when you run from a dog. The implication of a dog is very different from that of a puppy. And so it is suggested by scholars that Jesus, though he used the term, said it in such a way that the woman did not find offense, because he said it in meaning that the puppies, not the dog, that he used the word of, was not deserving of the bread. But here is the meaning of it. He's like, I came down from heaven, took on the form of flesh, became human so that I could pay the price for mankind's sin, beginning with the Jews. I came down to bring blessings to them, healing to them, deliverance to them, and every salvation or salvitic meaning and expression given to the people of God. I didn't come down to offer that to you first. And he knew that he would be in the position to offer it to them later, but here she was trying to get it out of place. In other words, it was coming her turn, but it wasn't her time. And so Jesus was just simply saying, listen, you're gonna get something, but it's gonna be later. Here is another woman who couldn't wait till later. She needed her blessing now.
Come on, doctor.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. But even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. What did that mean? What did that mean? Yeah, Lord, I know what you have belongs to the Jews. I've heard this word. I realize that. But what I do also realize is that I'm not asking for a loaf of bread. I'm just asking for the crumbs. In other words, I'm not asking you to forsake your people to help me. I'm just asking you to give me the leftovers that your people don't even want.
Right. Yes, sir.
Y'all not hearing me here today. She had sense enough to know, either through hearing, through experiencing, through understanding, that even those who are blessed. And you think about it, the people in most of our homes, even poor people, and I don't mean the poorest of poor, but those who would be considered poor by higher standards, even them, they have enough to eat and to spare. Many times, it's those who are of lower estate throw away more food than many of those who are of the upper estate.
Yes, sir.
And that you ain't got to go to third world countries for people to be hungry and starving. There are people sometime right in your community that's starving, and you're throwing away more food than you're using. And that's all she was saying. Listen, all the blessings that you have for your people will not be used by your people. And all I want is just a little bit, the crumbs that fall, the stuff you're going to throw away anyway. But that was enough to get deliverance for her daughter. That was the reason she was here. Listen to what the verse said. Now, Jesus was moved by that expression. Yes, Lord. She didn't contradict what he said. You're right. The bread is for the children. You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm not arguing with you about that point, but I do want to point out one interesting fact. Don't the little dogs that hang out under the table when they're eating, children drop bread and stuff down there for them to eat? Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes.
You eating all your stuff on your plate, Junior? Yeah. And the little puppy is right there. Everything they throw down, the little puppy is gobbling it up. And she knows this experientially. And she pictures herself in her situation in a like expression. And Jesus is like, wow, the humility. But look at three things and I'm through. He says, for this saying, for this saying. What was in the saying? The first thing you need to know is the saying was filled with faith. It was filled with faith.
Come on, doctor.
We've gone through it. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, the evidence. She didn't see the bread, but she knew who had the bread. She knew the blessing that she wanted was in Jesus, and that if Jesus spoke it, that would be the reality of the deliverance she needed for her daughter. All she needed him to do was speak it. Speak it. Not come to her house, just speak it. Because she wasn't worthy. Why? Because she didn't belong.
Yeah.
But she did believe. So listen again. That saying was filled with so much faith that it moved her beyond her feelings and into the realm of being humble enough to ask, and it again was in the present progressive, as some call it, meaning it was a continual operation of asking. Yes, ask. Yes. She could have said, oh, okay, well, you're going to act like that, then forget it. Boom. And she'd went out, and the daughter would have still had the demon. What would that accomplish? Nothing. So keep your feelings in check. When you're trying to get something you ain't got, and you know the one who can give it to you. You know, it's important to recognize that faith will unlock every locked door if you know how to ask.
Yes.
If you know how to ask. You wonder how some people get some things that you're more qualified for? That you might be more deserving of?